you're allergic to peanuts, don't go eat them. They will harm you.
This podcast is not a substitution for medical advice.
Yeah, I think let's say who we are, what we're drinking, because it is RD Power Hour. And how we met.
Sweet. Well, I'll go first. I'm Cody Duclos. I'm a dietitian currently working in Boise, Idaho, if anyone's listening to this. And I am drinking a natural lime White Claw today. So pretty basic.
Nice. So I'm Morgan. I'm a registered dietitian. And right now I'm drinking a mint mojito with fresh mint from my garden. I want to say we grew it on purpose, but it just somehow grew, and so it's pretty tasty.
Wow.
Yeah. Libby? Okay.
Can you hear us, Libby?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, now we can hear
you.
Oh,
okay. Okay, my name's Libby. And I am also a registered dietitian. I'm sitting in my kiddie pool. I am drinking a Corona because 'tis the season. And with lime, that part's important. Lots of vitamin C, all, you know, a whole thing. And yeah, I wanted to say, like, we didn't, this is called RD Power Hour. Do you guys know what a power hour is, both of you?
I do.
Is it like a happy hour?
No. So the way I have, like, the best story, that this is why I wanted to do this, because it's kind of funny. So RD Power Hour, because a power hour is when, I think traditionally, Morgan, is it supposed to be done with, like, actual booze, like liquor?
It's like, yeah, you're supposed to do it with liquor, which blows my mind.
Yeah, so you take a shot every minute for an hour, but we did it with beer in college. So, like, my favorite story is we're doing this, and you have, like, a playlist that's set, so every minute the song changes and you take a shot. Well, my dumb ass was sitting next to, okay, we were doing we did it on a shot ski. I'm 5'3". I sat next to Trent, who's 6'4", and his two friends. One of them is 6'5", and the other was 6'7". And so we're doing a shot ski, and I'm down here like a baby bird with my mouth open. Like, I just got beer poured on me for a whole hour. It was the worst, but I was a lot more sober than everyone else. So,
I love that story.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and Power Hour, that kind of blows my mind. Is it supposed to be liquor? Because beer makes way more sense. But
I mean, I would think, like, I mean, God, it's stupid. You'd die. You should right. die. If you don't really die, would. You wish you'd die.
Like, yes, exactly. So we'll stick with the no shots every minute method.
Yeah, everything yeah. in moderation here, right?
Exactly. Even booze, which is why we want to talk about nutrition as a group, because that's part of why we all get along so well, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think we all have really similar like philosophies and outlooks on nutrition.
Yeah. Do you guys remember how we all met?
I mean, clinical, was it the first class with you know who?
Yeah,
we can cut things out, right? So if I flip with a name, we can fix it.
Yeah, we can cut things out.
We would have all met at the, like, dietetics program orientation.
Right. I remember that's right? when I met you, Morgan. But Libby, yeah. I remember I met you in you know whose biochem class.
Oh my God.
And we were all yeah. desperately, like, trying to pass all of his little quizzes and exams. And I remember, like, I remember seeing you around and having classes with you before we got into our dietetics program, but, like, that class in particular, I remember kind of meeting you.
Yes.
It's because, and then we became,
like,
lab
ingrained
partners.
In our memories as, like, the world's worst class ever.
Yes.
Yes, lab partners. And then we figured out that we were cousins. When was that? Was that when we were in the program or before?
It's when we were in the program. Pretty sure when we were lab partners, we get to talking and just find out that, like, through the Schwartz, yeah, and
so
we're
funny.
Related, because it's small towns around here.
Idaho, y'all.
That only happened in Idaho.
For sure. And we went to the University of Idaho, so go Vandals.
Go Vandals!
Yay.
Yeah. So do you guys want to talk about why we became dietitians? Each of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Cody, or yeah, someone.
I'll go ahead. I originally started taking classes at Boise State, and I was an exercise science major and took my first nutrition class there. And honestly, looking back on it, now that I've been through the dietetics program, I've realized that back then I was a little bit like hyper self-conscious. Like I overthought everything that I ate and like how much I exercised. I was like one of those people. And I think like originally I got into the dietetics program because of that. And then it's just crazy how that has transformed in a positive way, a more positive way. Since I went through the dietetics program, just because I was so over analytical about everything and really hard on myself. And then I think after the dietetics program, I was like, this is really extreme and unhealthy. And I think that like now I have a more laid back approach to nutrition. And so originally that's why, and it's just crazy how it's really changed my mentality about nutrition since then.
Wow.
That's crazy. I didn't know that, Morgan.
Yeah, I know, because when people used to ask, I'd be like, yeah, I was an exercise science major and I took a nutrition class and just like fell in love with it, because that was like the easy answer. But looking back on it, I'm like, I was definitely just like, maybe, I don't know what the word is for people who, it's like almost an eating disorder where you are like so hyper aware of everything you're eating. Like you track everything.
Orthorexia.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I think that was me and I didn't know it.
Wow.
So
that's some profound stuff, Morgan. Whoa.
You know, whoa. That's one thing too I've never really talked about, but I had kind of a similar story. You know, when I was a teenager, I think I got into nutrition because, first of all, it was a cool way. I thought that you could get into the medical field. Like if you become a clinical dietitian, you know, you get I love the connection to food, which is something we can all control, like as far as our health goes. But I mean, I think struggled with some kind of like not disordered eating, but just being over perfectionistic and like very restrictive. So that's kind of what brought me to nutrition in the first place. But yeah, as you learn more, you realize, wow, this, it's so much more than just controlling everything you eat, of course.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's actually like so common in today's world. We put so much pressure on ourselves to have like this perfect diet.
Yeah.
And it's just, there is no perfect diet.
I also feel like a lot of dietitians are like perfectionists.
Yeah.
Type A, like I thought I was type A until I got into this profession. I'm so not.
Libby, I think you're definitely like a type B dietitian.
Oh, guaranteed. Like, without a doubt.
But that's one of my favorite things about you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, I kind of like fly by the seat of my pants 90% of the time. But so I guess it's my story time. Ooh. So I wanted to be, you guys have heard this a million times, but I wanted to be a doctor since the time I was like 4. Me and my cute little speech impediment put on the DACTA show. Like, I loved it. I wanted to be an ER doctor so bad. And then I think it was like 7th grade and we had to do a career PowerPoint or something. And I kind of had looked, I finally had like the reality of school and that I didn't maybe want to do it for another 12 years after I graduated high school. So I like realized it was going to take me an extra 15 years of school and education to be what I wanted to be, and it was not appealing. And then I have my aunt who's just like a total badass, and she's a driven, independent, strong human. She's like, she is my idol. She's pretty incredible. And she's a dietitian and she started a business, and she, you know, she's done a TED talk,
a big,
you know,
business.
She's just really, yeah, a big business. She's impressive. She's impressive. And she is the boss. And man, I am bossy and I love to be in charge. So that was also kind of appealing. I'm like, hey, like I'm the boss. And there's just like, you know, there was a lot that I could do with the degree. And so that's what I went for. And that's what happened. And then also, you know, I grew up on a farm. I eat red meat 2 times a week. I am a lover of all things gluten and pasta. And, you know, I just like, I was kind of surrounded, not my, you know, my mom is a very proud and very confident woman. Like she never, ever, we didn't have a scale in our house, but I saw like my aunts and other members of my family, and they, you know, they did like diets, and I was always kind of intrigued and interested because it was always such a thing, You know, like they were always so focused on their diet, and it kind of made me uncomfortable. And it still does. And it's definitely something that I want to like bridge the gap between, like, hey, you can eat all foods. Hey, farmers aren't trying to kill you. Hey, like, you know, there's just so many things I think that we can have a voice with in this profession. So maybe a little less for me on the, you know, nutrition. I mean, obviously the nutrition side is important, but also the impact that we leave and how people perceive the profession is really important to me. Because I do think there's kind of a stigma of dietitians are really type A and they calorie count everything. And that's not really it. I mean, all three of us are dietitians and none of us do that. So,
It's always funny. Like when someone finds out you're a dietitian and they come to you and ask you which like diet they should be on. And I think like, we're probably going to end up talking a lot about fad diets on this show, but I always think it's funny. Yeah.
Yes, I mean
I mean, like, when I meet a new person and tell them that I'm a dietitian, the first thing they say is like, oh, I just got done with keto, or like I am on like intermittent fasting this week. And I'm just like, that's great, but I don't know, I don't think that's like necessarily like super exciting for me to hear.
Yeah.
My favorite is like when you're out to dinner with someone and they're like, oh, you're like someone new, right? You go out with friends, they bring a friend, and then they ask what you do, you tell them, and they like cover their plate and they're like, oh, well, don't look at what I'm eating. And I was like, are you kidding me? I just ordered like a grande house burrito. Like, I'm very excited about this. Like, you're out to eat. Give yourself a little grace. Like, it's okay.
Exactly.
So funny.
And I think that's why we all, I mean, I think we're all so close now because we all have like that similar mentality. And I think actually a lot of dietitians have that. Don't you guys think that like most dietitians are pretty easygoing as far as nutrition? Like,
I think, yeah, for the most part. I mean, we go to school to, I mean, a big chunk of our education is to be impartial, right? Like you're there to listen, to support, even if someone's going to do keto, if that works for them, what the hell, you can do it. But are you aware of it? Do you understand it?
Yeah. Well, and food itself is impartial, right? There's no such thing as a good food or a bad food. And I think once you go through school and you actually learn the hard science about nutrition, it's really interesting because the more you kind of learn about it, the more you do realize it's just food. And there's nothing, I mean, for the most part, save for like poison, nothing you eat is going to give you health problems. It's the overall picture, of course, but there's so much,
like, not immediately unless you have an allergy,
right?
In which case, exactly. Don't listen to us. Should we put disclaimers at the top?
Probably.
We're like, let's do a shot of liquor every 60 seconds.
Don't know if you guys just heard me crack open another beer or not, but hurrah.
Yeah. But so many people think that, because there is so much information floating around out there and it's not all good. Of course, it's easier to believe sensationalist things.
Oh, for sure.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. So should we talk about what we're all doing currently, or?
Yeah. Let's just do it.
Yeah. This is everyone who's, if anyone's listening, really, I mean, it's just going to kind of be like one intro. Big cluster of an episode, because we don't know what we're doing and that's why we're doing it. So,
Amen.
So I'm going to start on that, because part of, like, I was looking forward to this all week, and it is because it is so casual and it's so exciting to me because I really love my job. I'm a consultant dietitian. So when I say I'm bossy, I found a job that really works with that, because I just kind of boss a lot. But I work specifically in aging and long-term care. I love the geriatric population. I find that it's really nice to give someone who's 90 a piece of bacon when they've been told they can't have it their whole lives. You know, and it's just, it's something that I love it. But it's very, like, I go to work and I am working. Every minute of my day is a billable minute, you know, like I don't kind of putter around. There's not a lot of downtime. I love the pace. It really works for me. I like to be kind of like living in this life of chaos constantly. I don't know how to slow down. So it's really great and I love it. But I'm also like literally working, quote unquote, by doing this podcast right now, sitting in my kiddie pool drinking a beer. And I mean, if that's not the dream, I don't know what is. So
that's awesome. Yeah, well, I guess I can go next. So I'm currently working part-time in a clinical position. So I work actually on the opposite end of the spectrum, of course, in pediatrics, which is like birth through 18-year-olds. So I just do anything and everything nutrition-related for that population on the inpatient side. So if they come to the hospital and they're sick, a lot of what you get to do as a clinical dietitian is nutrition support. So when people are on feeding tubes and things like that, but it's also a lot of really cool medical stuff. Like I say, you get into the medical field and you can do your, you have your eyes on their fluid status and their lab values and their weights and their GI output and really the whole picture, especially in critical care nutrition, which is like ICU patients. So I'm pretty new to this role and I'm starting it off, but loving it. And, you know, as a young dietitian, I think for a lot of people, you end up kind of taking on different gigs and trying different things. And you kind of eventually find the path that works for you. So I'm also doing projects part-time. I help another dietitian out with social media and content creation, which I also love. So you can be pretty flexible.
Craziest thing that you've seen in your like clinical job, if you can tell us, like HIPAA, you know.
Right. Oh man, that's a good one. The craziest thing,
or like your just a, I don't know, interesting story. Like, do you have any crazy stories, or even Libby from your job?
I have one that irritates me. I have one off the top of my head that happened like the first, it was probably the first 2 months. I was a fresh faced, brand new, just graduated, like just passed my exam dietitian. And I like roll into my facility and I have this young, you know, I work in long-term care. So I don't see a lot of young people, but I had a young resident, you know, under 50 and a type 1 diabetic, and the medical provider had them on a diet. It was a low, like small portion. They were refusing to give him double portions because he was a type 1 diabetic. And that was their whole rationale. And like, and I kind of just like wrote down his estimated needs and was like, he's like young and underweight and a type 1 diabetic and super active and like 6'5". So I kind of just like handed the paper and was like, no, but like not with a lot of confidence. And then they kind of like gave me a little pushback. And then I got a little sassy and I just kind of was like, no, like I kind of laid into him, but they listened and it was like really exciting after they listened, but I'm still fine about it. It's been a year. So
like, wow.
Stuff like that irritates me, but you know, it's fine.
I don't know. The craziest story I can think of from working in peds is like when kids, the ones that stick out to me, I guess, are the more sad cases, as sad as it is. Like, a lot of these kids with complicated medical situations get in this situation because of abuse and neglect. So, I mean, I've had stories where, you know, CPS comes to the hospital a lot and basically takes kids into the state's custody. And there was one kid that was just about to get declared, right? Which was a good thing because he had like some growth failure going on and he was just about to declare, but then he ended up getting transferred to another hospital. And just before they got him and were able to help him, he ended up passing away. So I guess the sad instances stick out to me, but there's also a lot of great success stories, especially like for our dietitians on the outpatient side that get to work with people more long-term when they're not in that critical care situation. So.
Yeah. Cody, I think it takes a really like special type of person to work in peds. So that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And you really have to, you know, I've talked to people with way more experience in this that I work with, and they all kind of have their way of like finding support and being able to separate work and life enough that they can keep coming back to it and putting everything into their work without becoming too sad or too like callous to it, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks for sharing. I'll talk about what I do now. So I just graduated in December with my master's degree. And right now I'm working in research, and it's kind of like an extension of what I did for my thesis in my master's degree. So right now we're researching yogurt and its effect because of the probiotics on emotional well-being, cognition, and inflammation. So pretty much I'm just helping my old major professor with any research projects that she's doing, but primarily on that project. So I work part-time as a research assistant. I'm also searching for any other jobs. And honestly, right now, it's a really tough job market here in Boise during COVID. So it's kind of a struggle, but I'm really thankful to have my research job. And I mean, when I first started the dietetics program and we had to take those research classes, it was like my least favorite topic. And now that I'm actually working in research, it's so much fun. Like, if I could keep doing this forever, I would definitely make a career out of it. It just seems like there's not that many, you know, like full-time positions as a dietitian for research, but right now I'm really enjoying it. So that's what I do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. So do you guys think, okay, if you could sum up like just what you think about healthy eating today and like, what is your personal mission? What kind of dietitian do you guys want to be? We're all pretty new to the field, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just think that people are really hard on themselves. And I think that a lot of people want, you know, a black and white, like straightforward version of what they should be eating all the time. And I think that's why so many people seek out like fad diets, because it's a quick fix. It tells you exactly what you can and can't eat. But I think it's kind of honestly like the fad diet cycle is so traumatizing because it takes you through so many ups and downs of like liking your body because you lost weight and then hating your body because you gained it back. And I just think that it's like, it's really traumatizing for people to go through that. And I would just like to help, I don't know, point out more evidence-based ways to eat for like a lifestyle that's enjoyable. Like, I don't think that you necessarily have to cut out any food groups at all. I think all foods can fit. And really just advocate against fad diets. I'm really tired of fad diets. So I think that's like my number one mission. But I also, I don't know, it's hard because there's so many different types of dietitians out there, but I think that as a whole we all just want like a healthier lifestyle that isn't extreme and isn't like as traumatizing as fad diets can be.
Yeah, people are so hard on themselves.
Yeah.
And one thing I guess I very intentionally do as a dietitian now is I stop any notions of like food shame and guilt at the door. If I'm in a conversation with someone and they, you know, talk about a food that they had and then immediately follow it with like, oh, but that was bad of me, or that was my guilty pleasure. I try to really help people just relax and reframe the way we talk about food, because it's like there's so much guilt and shame surrounding eating in our culture, which I think we could talk about the reasons a lot for that, like everything from body image to gender roles or whatever, you know. But people are just, my mission and my nutrition philosophy is first and foremost to help people relax around the conversation surrounding food and be able to experience it with joy and positivity and curiosity in their lives rather than like fear and guilt.
Yeah, I love that because nutrition, I mean, like it has become so fear-based, I feel like. And for me, it's just like, I think food can be so enjoyable and like the highlight of my day sometimes. And it's just like really sad to me that some people are so like scared or guilty about what they eat. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really cool, Cody. I like that.
Yeah, I love that approach. That's a good, like just a good way to go. And yeah, and I'm just of the same opinion. I said it, but like all foods can fit. I believe all foods can fit. You know, I just, there is poor evidence for long-term use of a diet that one is good for your health. Two, mm-hmm. you can maintain for the rest of your life. There's like patterns of eating and styles of eating that I definitely think are like feasible. Like think of like a Mediterranean type. It's called a diet, but it's really not a diet. It's an eating.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like it's right. an eating style, right? It's how people in Italy eat. And you know what? They eat a lot of carbs. They love pasta. They drink wine. But they also have a lot of legumes and fruits and vegetables and fish and things that are kind of lacking in a standard American diet. Do I think a standard American diet can work? Absolutely. But, you know, just to be, not to be on a diet, but to be like mindful with your food, right? Like mindful eating, intuitive eating. It's super hot right now. I'd love to talk about it more in depth on like a whole thing. Cause I think it's just something to chat about. So people are informed about it, but yeah. And I hate fat diets so much. I want to get rid of them, but I also understand that some people need them for their mental well-being. Some people really need that structure. I'm not going to discredit because they work for some people, but I think the majority, again, it's not a long-term thing.
Yeah. And I think the problem is if everybody had a dietitian that could be like, hey, here's like maybe a better alternative to trying this fad diet, that would be better. But not everybody has like access or knows how to find a dietitian to be like, hey, like I'd love to lose weight or I'd love to do this or whatever their goals are. They don't always have access to or know where to find a dietitian to either tell them like, hey, let's try this instead, or maybe see what would work better for their lifestyle. And yeah. That's why people lean to looking it up on the internet and seeing like, what did these people or these celebrities do to like lose weight? I think it's really hard to find credible information right now.
There was like a whole thing from like, wasn't it Kim K's like eating pattern or something for their like rapid weight loss program? It was very interesting.
It was, wasn't it? What was on it? Like, I feel like they had like grapefruit and then like eggs.
Yeah, it was very regimented, I'd say. And I mean, it wasn't anything necessarily like outlandish. I didn't see like a bunch of like supplements or like, you know, pound 3 protein shakes and rage through the day. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. You know, what's funny. I've been seeing so many, I mean, like I know keto is really big right now and we don't have to get into that right now, but I've been seeing so many, like I'll meet someone and they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm on this new diet. And I'm like, what's it called? And it's the carnivore diet. Did you guys know that's a thing?
Oh my. Yeah.
So you only eat meat. Like you don't eat any vegetables, no fruit, no whole grains.
I'm just
no fiber.
Like, imagine that bowel movement.
Exactly. I'm like, but do you poop?
Yeah, and when you do you have to throw up? Because have you ever smelled like a dog poo when they're not on a balanced diet?
Yes, disgusting. It's like such a struggle.
Ooh.
The thing is, like people, I think we're getting to a point where people equate almost like more extreme with more healthy, because it's like this challenge, right? People are, a lot of people are out there in this mindset of, you know, self-improvement and health, which is awesome. But it almost, I think there's like a competitive nature, and it becomes the more the better, right? The more extreme, the better the results and the better impact on my health. But that's like just not true.
Games. That's what I kind of equate that with. Like with the competitive nature of dieting goes with like the competitive nature of the gram, right? Like people posting about getting gains and getting swole.
Yes.
And like,
social media.
If you want to lean out, that's awesome. Like, good for you for being motivated enough to hit the gym and get them gains, quote unquote. But like, are you like, what, how are you getting these gains? And I feel like it's such like a negative mindset, you know, and kind of like, I love the gym. I have a love hate relationship with the gym because I feel like sometimes the gym is almost like a, like more of a negative atmosphere. Sometimes,
yeah,
you know, like it's so hyper competitive about, like, do you know what I'm saying? You feel me?
I think we could do a whole episode on body image.
Yeah, and the gym, Libby, I do get what you're saying because the gym is so appearance based, and it is kind of like Instagram. And I just think it's so unrealistic to have those expectations, like looking at other people's Instagrams when they're like posting mirror selfies of them at the gym, or like when they've been on this like crazy diet for 1 month and like cut weight and lost all this weight and built so much muscle. It's so unrealistic because when you think about, like, think about it, if everybody on the whole planet did the same diet, the same workout routine, none of us would look the exact same.
No.
Like, everybody's body is just so different that it's like whatever that person did to get that body is not realistic for me or anybody else, really. So that's why nutrition is so hard, because it's so personalized.
Yeah. And just because the BMI scale, you know, just because your BMI is overweight or obese does not mean you're unhealthy. Like, and I think stigma, like, oh, but I'm 20 pounds overweight. Like, so what? Like, technically, I'm bordering on overweight and I'm a pretty tiny little human, but I got curves, like, and I'm proud of them. I'm thrilled. So
I think the fact is people aren't actually always interested in being healthy. It is more about the image. And
totally.
You know, and when they go to these extremes of extreme fad diets, for example, the keto diet where you eat only fat, or the carnivore diet where you're eating only meat, that's not healthy. Clearly, we know that from a huge body of scientific evidence, and yet people feel drawn to those approaches because it holds this promise of making them look a certain way, or, you know.
Okay, so I have a real question though. So I have a question. If someone were to come to you and they said, I want to lose 10 pounds in a week, as a dietitian, what would you say to them?
Yeah. So first you need to evaluate that goal, right? You need to say, why 10 pounds? Why in a week? Because is that realistic? Is that healthy? It's possible for some people, but, you know, 10 pounds in a week, in order to make that happen, you have to create a huge calorie deficit and you would essentially be starving yourself. And along with in that 10 pounds, you're going to lose lean mass, and it's not healthy for your long term, right?
Yeah,
totally. And I think too, just having that conversation, like, if you lose that much weight that quickly, the odds of maintaining that are so low.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, like, you're bound to gain that back very quickly because you can't maintain that diet for that long. So I think just having that conversation, I don't know if it would help or not, but in my head, I'm like, I think having that conversation that you will gain that weight back and possibly more.
So
because
I've
felt so restricted that whole time.
Like, I've had this conversation with someone, right? One of my girlfriends, she came to me and she's like, I know what you're going to say, but I want to lose 10 pounds in a week. So I'm going to do keto. And I just kind of looked at her and I was like, why are you doing it? And she told me, she's like, whatever, you know, she just wanted to lose the weight because she needed to fit in a dress, or I don't even remember the circumstance, but, and I just thought, I was like, go for it. I was like, if that's what you want to do, you do it. I was like, but when you gain it all back within the next week, because you stopped the diet, or because a lot of it was fluid, or whatever the case is, you know, I'm like, that's fine. But then come talk to me. Like, I'm not here. And here's my philosophy as a dietitian. I am not here to help you lose weight fast. I sure as hell am not. And I don't want to. I don't want it. Like, I am not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be whoever you want to be, the healthiest version of whoever that is, long term. And I am not saying you have to be a size 2. I'm not saying you have to be a size 10. You can be whatever the hell size you are, as long as you can do the things you want to do, you feel good, you have energy, and I mean, and you, and it's something that makes you happy. You're comfortable. You're happy. You eat pizza when you want, but you also eat vegetables. Like, you know, it's all about balance. And I, there's my, that's my philosophy. Look at that. I dug it out.
There it is.
Woo! That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I love that. Write it down. Take some notes.
This is recorded, yeah. Right?
Seriously, I think that's one of the great parts about being evidence-based practitioners is because we do always have that broader perspective of what's your deeper health situation and for the long term. You know, it's not just how can you look in 10 days, because you can do some serious damage to your health by going to those extremes. So that's what I love about being a dietitian too.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's so much more to it. I mean, like, there's the aspect of maybe wanting to lose weight to look better. But then when you really think about nutrition and like meeting your nutritional goals, whatever it is so psychological that it's just like everybody is so different, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I think what you guys already talked about, like, that's a big part of why you're dietitians is because you have psychological ties to it, and I think we all do. I yeah. you know oh, me yeah. I'm nothing but confidence 95% of the time, but it's also, I mean, yeah. It's not, you know, just because we are educated in the world of nutrition and health and I worked at a gym in college does not make me an expert. And you know, it does to an mm-hmm. extent, but it's also like I still have my own struggles. We all still have our own struggles just because we're yeah.
right,
we're, you know, we preach it, we practice it. But we're humans. Like, I have my days. Like, I have my days that I just wear sweatpants and totally love it and rock it and accept that maybe I have a little more weight on me than I would like. But, you know, it's like, you're a work in progress and you roll with it.
Yeah. And guys, it's so important to mention the culture we live in now. I seriously, we're going to have to do an episode on this because it's so ubiquitous. Just the pressure on girls and guys, you know, to look week? A certain way.
Can it?
Next week.
I think this is a great kickoff, that one.
Let's do it. Yeah. Like body image next week.
Body image. Yeah. Because that's the basis of fad diets, right? Fad diets totally. Wouldn't be a thing if we weren't all concerned about why we look the way we do.
Yeah. And it's so societal.
Yeah.
Like this, it's just like what society makes us think we need to look like.
I mean, if nutrition, it's about looking a certain way for a lot of people, I think, because if it weren't, you'd be more concerned about what you are eating and trying to include a variety of foods than what it is you're cutting out, right?
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
Because that's the opposite of wholesome nutrition.
I love that. I never even thought of it that way, Cody. Look at you. That's like the most spot on definition of a diet.
Yeah,
you're not focused on what you are eating, you're focused on what you're not, and it's miserable. Yeah.
All right, well, I think we have some good ideas going forward. Like, what do you guys see as your visions for what we can do with this podcast, who we want to reach?
Everybody.
Yeah, I think everybody too. I think like the general, I don't know, just like the general population. But
even
also
people who don't agree with us. If you don't like what we're saying, I want you to listen to our perspective and then like shoot in a question, right? Like you have a different opinion. Duh. Like, obviously we're opinionated. That's why
we're talking about it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I want to have a discussion, a dialogue with people. It just because we're saying something doesn't mean you're wrong and we're right. It's just, this is 100% opinion and evidence-based, but
totally.
The point of this is to be a little comedic, a little casual, a little informative, but we don't want to be like sitting in a lecture hall wishing we were having a beer. Instead, we're sitting in our yards actually having a beer. So perspective on what to expect, I think, from us. If you're looking for something more academia, oriented, you've come to the wrong place, probably.
Yeah.
Not
that we are telling fact, evidence-based things laced with our opinions as well, because whether you like it or not, there's always an opinion, even in a research
and our own,
there is an opinion
and our own experiences.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And I do want to know like what people want to hear, like what they want to know, what questions they have, what opinions they have. I want to know because I would love to address that.
Yes.
And ultimately, we are in a helping profession and we want to learn about people and their struggles and find out how to best help anyone we can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the goal will always be to keep it near-ish an hour.
Right. More or power less. Hour.
Power hour-ish.
Yeah. I like it.
I think there's going to be lots of real talk on our show, which is cool because, you know, sometimes from what I've observed as just a young person going into this field, I think a lot of times dietitians can end up being kind of tight-lipped because we don't want to give out misinformation. We want to stick to evidence-based advice. But I think this is like such a great chance to just give people the real talk.
Yeah, I like that because sometimes I literally am like scared to say anything, which maybe is something I think that I could probably address. But I think that sometimes I'm scared to say something because I'm like, are there research studies to back it? Like, I literally am so strict on what I'll share with people because I'm like, there has to be something to back it. And I don't know, do you guys feel like that or why am I like that?
I feel that.
Like, yeah, I definitely feel that like constantly. But I, as I've said so many times already, I'm very opinionated and I always make my opinions known. So if it's something that like I have research top of mind or if it's something I'm not even educated about, I'll look it up. Like I will get my hands on a few really good research articles that are, you know, peer reviewed. They're good stuff. And I'll kind of share them or I'll just say like, hey, you know, I don't know much about it, but I do know this. Like, it's kind of my like go-to is like, well, I can't whip research out right now, but I definitely can tell you that it doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah, I do that too. I do that too. I'll be like, here's what I think you should do, but if you don't want to, then don't. Like, it's always like I have to add that little
disclaimer
at the end, just in case, because I'm like, this is what I've read, and from what I know, here's what you should do. If not, then don't, because it's just like the hard thing about nutrition is like everybody has to eat. A lot of people want to lose weight. A lot of people want to, like, there's different goals that everybody has. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, a lot of people think they're nutrition experts. And I think that's why.
Because they eat.
Yes, exactly. And that's why this field is so hard, is because we are dietitians and we did get that education and we're technically the most, like, I want to say the most educated professionals in the field of nutrition.
We are held to a higher standard too with evidence-based practice. That's huge right now.
To have our credential, we have to pass a board exam, a national board exam. To have a licensure, you have to be approved by the State Board of Medicine. I mean, we're not faux pas. We're not making stuff up. We're not just spewing information to talk, you know. We are educated, and we're not technically the most educated. We are the most educated, and it's important that we don't sell ourselves short, because I mean, we went to school for a while, a hot minute. We all have bachelor's, Morgan has a master's degree. We were in a specialty program, you know. We worked really hard to get in, we worked really hard to stay in, and we worked really hard to pass that stupid exam that hopefully we never have to take again.
Exactly.
Right. And I think like other players in the nutrition and wellness space, like whether they got a certification through like as a personal trainer, I believe there's an additional like nutrition certificate you can get. There's people who are nutritionists, and we can talk sometime too about the difference between dietitians and nutritionists. Yes. I really do think they have the best intentions in mind, but it is just a totally different playing field. Especially when you get into things like, you know, people with medical conditions who have different nutrition needs than just a general healthy diet. Yeah. And that's where being a registered dietitian is just a different level altogether. And I think as a profession, we can be better at putting ourselves out there and advocating for ourselves. And I know you guys are awesome. And like, even just being online is a huge like plus, you know.
Yeah, totally. To be able to, you know, do this and then share it to our followers, because that's who we're going to share it to round one, right? Like,
here, yeah. this is the thing we did and we hope you listen. But just the opportunity to do that is huge, because it's like a voice or three voices that are the experts. So yeah. like, I think it's fantastic.
I do too. I agree, Libby.
So have you guys finished your drinks?
I finished mine. I'm on my third. So
I finished mine and I was making a drink halfway through while you guys were talking about what you did for work. And that's why I was like non-existent in that conversation, because I was making my second drink.
Oh, so. Fine. I totally, my call had dropped in the middle of Cody talking about his philosophy. So.
Oh, shoot.
We can cut the rest of this, right? Should we switch to a regular call so we can talk deets? And we'll,
yeah,
we'll,
yes. And we can edit this. This
so up, like, and we can talk deets about some other things that I have questions on.
Okay.
Anything we want to say before we go?
No. Thanks. I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We promise like we that it's going to be maybe, probably not more organized, to be honest, but we'll have a more direct, you know, this was like a get to know us, hey, how are ya, welcome to the jungle type of episode. And then it's kind of like you don't have a little more direction, right?
It was like a pilot episode. I think from here on out we'll have topics, and
yeah, you already know next week, which is body image and like diet culture and society. It's gonna be
wonderful stuff that comes along with it.
Yes. Okay.
Great.
All right.
All right. Bye.
See you all next week.
Yes. On Dietitian Power Hour.
Yes.
All right. Bye.